Praise the Lord. It's another Antichrist. It's Antichrist. A ministry that will fulfill this church ministry will be worldwide. Because it is not one man, it's a body of people. It is the last joker of God. When God drops that joker, praise the Lord. Satan, you think you have defeated. This is what William Branham called it. William Branham preached it in reference to that. He was calling it the adoption of the bride. He said, that is when we shall be adopted. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And nobody yet has been adopted. The doctrine that some teach that William Branham is the first son of God, member, of this age, the first one to be adopted, I fault it. William Branham was not adopted. It's good to know your Bible. When I was confronted with that, telling me that, do you know that the first believer in this age to be adopted is William Marion Branham? I know my Bible. Church, study. Tap your neighbor, say study. Tap your neighbor now. You dey fear him. You dey fear him. Tell him. Study and show thyself approved unto God. Study. 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 Many of us don't study. Many. Many of us. If you study, they will not come near you. They can't come near me. I'll rubbish them with the scripture. With the scripture. Listen. What is adoption? And this is my reply. In case you meet them, let this be your reply. The same William Branham told us how we are adopted. Listen, this is important. Because we are part of a group of people that Satan has, invaded and rubbish until we have no bearing again. But if God is raising some ministers in this age to line us up, listen to what they are saying. And if what they are saying is making sense, then hold on to it. I'm telling you, listen, the same William Branham they are talking about told us, he was the one that pointed us to adoption. He preached a message titled The Adoption. This, and he picked his text from Galatians chapter 4. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, an Eastern culture was used to let us also understand how God will deal with us as Christians. That when the owner of an estate, maybe he's a king, gives birth to a son, automatically, is that son not the prince? Is the heir apparent? Is he not the one that will inherit the kingdom? Now, but in the East, they have a culture. They put him before tutors. They call them tutors. Who bring him up? He's undergoing schooling. That is Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, he says, and that is the same process all of us are going through. Then he says that when that period comes, that the tutor now knows that this one has matured, he can handle the affairs of the kingdom. He says, then he reports to the king, and then the king brings him before witnesses. Emphasis, witnesses. There must be witnesses. And then he will announce to them that, this my son today, I present him before you. All authority that I have given it to him. Anything he signed is as good as I have signed. Anything he says, I have said it. All full authority and power is given to him, is presented to the people. It is called adoption. The first man that was adopted is the man Jesus. Hallelujah. praise the Lord. When he was giving birth to, he was announced to the whole world that he is the son. He is the son of God. So that you know he is his son. As he come out of that water, the spirit of God descended like a dove. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's where he ended. To let you know this is my son. He ended there. Then he allowed his son to be tempted. He allowed his son to be hungry. He allowed his son to go through 40 days dry fasting, no food, no water. He allowed him to go through all. Then he came to chapter 17 and took him to the Mount of Transfiguration with how many witnesses? Peter, James, and John. And transformed him. And they were looking at him. And a voice from heaven repeated, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That is the adoption. That is the adoption of the Lord Jesus. And I ask them, if William Branham was adopted, who were the witnesses? And where did it take place? And somebody answered me and said, "Do I remember the story that William Branham gave of the sword of the spirit that was given to him? That is the adoption." I told him, I said, "Who witnesses?" It was a spiritual thing. It was a vision William Branham saw. And then he was narrating to us who saw it. And please, the sword of the spirit being given to him in a vision is not adoption. There must be witnesses. The adoption will not be an individual. It will be an end time move. And William Branham taught us, he saw that move. And he kept screaming, "Oh, I wish I would be a monk." He said that is the period that God will make an open show of his bride. He will display his queen for this world to see. Right now, they are having a field day. Babalawos have become prophets. They are doing all manner of things with anointing. And God is folding his hands because he has reserved a period for himself. By the time he will show forth, he said, at that time, hallelujah, he said that there will be nothing like, "Let's go and see pastor for prayer." He said, everywhere, because he said to people, to nations, to kings, the average, this time now, it will not be a five-fold ministry thing. It will be a body movement of a group of people, and it will be worldwide. There will be a group of people that you are going, and he sees a man that is crippled, and he will just touch him, rise and walk. And then he's going, he's not organizing crusade for it. Anywhere they are, he said, that is the time that there will be the power of the spoken word manifested. You will speak it and it will come to pass. You will say it and it will come to pass. It will confuse everybody. And just when they are beginning to think, "What is happening?" we shall disappear. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just when they are thinking, "What is going on?" the next thing, that should be the eighth one now, takes place. The trump. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. What is the trump of God? It's the voice of resurrection. That every one of us will hear our name. Lazarus, come forth. Because there are many people in the grave. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. And when he shouts, we shall hear our name. And what is the assurance? He says, hallelujah, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken, bring to life. You see how important it is to get the Holy Ghost. The reason why you can hear him is that you have his spirit in you. Grave could not stop it. Hallelujah. Once you have received the Holy Ghost, it's eternal life. In the grave, he's there with you. And when the day of resurrection, the day you will hear the trump, which is the seventh thing that will happen, praise the Lord. I mean, the eighth thing that will happen. And That is why in John chapter 5, let me round up this. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which he said, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. That is the trump of God. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now the same thing is repeated in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 3. It is the trump. But let me just explain something here. It says, hallelujah. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, hallelujah, shall awake. Let's read it from verse 1 so that we catch the picture properly. And at that time shall Michael stand up. That is during the great tribulation, the great trouble that is ahead. Stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, chapter 12 and John chapter 5 is a sermon of his own concerning resurrection. There is a resurrection of life and there's a resurrection of damnation. And the resurrection of life is in three stages. The first stage was Matthew 27, those that came out with Christ. The second stage is what we are waiting for now. And the third stage will be the resurrection of the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. Moses and Elijah, God bless you. They are the ones, the three stages. And each of these, the unbelievers, the wicked, the unbelievers don't rise because that is the first resurrection. The rest, they remain under the earth until we come to Revelation chapter 20, where we see the white throne judgment. Hallelujah. And so, when he says that they will hear the voice of the Son of Man, the voice there is the trump that wakes up the saints. The dead in Christ will hear it. You will rise first. And those of us who are alive will be caught up to be with him forever, and we will reign with him forever and ever. That is the eighth thing that happens before the rapture finally takes place. And just if you look at Matthew chapter 24, before we read that, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, 12, and 13 and 14. Listen, church. All I'm trying to prove to you is what Apostle Paul is saying here. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Some of us, we believed almost 30 years ago. Some of us believed 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Always remember that each year that passes, our salvation is getting nearer. In the next verse. Hallelujah. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And finally, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the laws thereof. If Apostle Paul, almost 2,000 years ago, if Apostle Paul will say that 2,000 years ago, what will we be saying now? That our salvation is nearer than we first believed. And so Jesus Christ put it this way, Matthew chapter 24. Verse 32, 33, 34, 35. Matthew 24, the parable of the fig tree. Matthew chapter 24. Now learn a parable. When he says learn, that is learn something from here. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, what is the sign? You know that summer is nigh. Verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, which things? The things that we are revealing through this study, the things that Christ himself was speaking of, the sign of the end. In Matthew 24, he said, the way you study a fig tree, that is how you should also look at the events that will be happening. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation that will see all these things come to pass, they shall not pass away. This generation shall not pass till all these things that he has spoken be fulfilled. Heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words, hallelujah, shall not pass away. The certainty. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. I preach to you the gospel according to nature. And I told you how that even nature teaches us salvation. And I told you, I used the example of the birth of a child, the conception of a child. Before you can get one child, a man can pregnant a woman with one child. How many sperm cells minimum do you need? 30 million, 50 million. If you have only 20 million sperm cells, it is called low sperm count. You cannot pregnant a woman. It is a gospel. People don't understand that it is God preaching gospel. Does not nature teach you? William Branham said he understands the gospel best from nature. Why will God, to produce one, to be able to produce one, you must have 30 million. 2 million children of Israel left Egypt. How many entered the promised land? Two in that generation. Only two out of 2 million of those who left Egypt. The rest, they died by the wayside. He who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. 30, 40, 50 million. If you are able to produce triplets, there is celebration. Three. You enter Guinness Book. The whole street will come and gather. Three. Out of 50 million. Can't you see the gospel? I am bride. You are a sperm cell. You are a sperm cell. Nobody is arguing. You are a sperm cell. Very healthy looking. But he said, strive to enter in. immediately those 50 million cells are released. Come and see race. He only one will be able to enter. And immediately he enter, the rest from fight, then they fight, they block the gate. And the door is closed. What happened to them? The woman will go and clean up and wash them away. Only one enters. Strive to enter. He said, for many we seek to enter, but they will not find it. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Go to the mountain. Go everywhere. They are struggling to go. He said, many will not say, strive to enter. If he says strive to enter, then how are we to enter? How will we enter? He emphasizes again, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. He said, enter it. Let's read it. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. So there are two gates. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there. Many. All of them are going to heaven. Many are going in. But he said, all that way that accommodate every kind of thing to enter. The gospel of it doesn't matter. Let them come in. God is a good God. Everybody come in. Wide is the gate. They enter and see the church plenty. There are thousands. There are millions. Everywhere gather. He said, the end of it is what? Destruction. But, hallelujah, because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. The one that you will get life is not palatable, is not enjoyable. And he said, few there be that find that way. Few that be. And quickly, let me add to you, pastors. I told the enter message believers who are accusing me. They are telling me that many people are coming to Brand Assembly because I'm not preaching the message. He said, tell me, do you see any enter message or big like Brand Assembly? And I told them, it's because you don't understand the gospel. Your own 50 people, 100 people, if they're plenty, 120 people, you are the big pastor. I said, see, I am closer to producing one life than you. Because you are suffering from low sperm count. You are suffering from low sperm count. I spoke to them in a seminar. Don't you ever think that I believe that all of us are bright? Many are called, but few are choosing. Let the few stand up. Let me see. The rest sit down. The few stand up. The rest sit down. Can you see? Is that not scripture? Is that not scripture? Hallelujah. He said, many are seeking it. Many are seeking it. Can't you see? Everybody stands up. But there be few that findeth it. Praise the Lord. And I told you, while you remain standing, I am closing. While you remain standing, listen, church. Many are called, but few. This rough way. Do you know there are some women that when the man puts in the sperm cells, when she stands up, everything will come out. Those are pastors that cannot keep members. They do crusade. We will go all around and go and do crusade. When we do crusade, people will come plenty there. When we leave, they will flush out. They need to see Dr. Jesus. They need to see Dr. Jesus. I want to explain this so that you'll understand. So many people, our eyes of understanding, he has opened. So you have seen, Abby. You have seen the message of the hour. See, it is one thing to find it. It is another to be part of it. It is one thing to find it. You have found it. You have found it. Andrew, come and see. He said, come and see whom we have found. But when they found him, they followed him. The Pharisees saw him. What's his name? The one that came in the night. Nicodemus found him, but he came in the night. Master, we know thou art a teacher sent from heaven. Did he follow? He went back to his denomination because of the appointment he has there. They found him, but how many followed? You have seen the message. How many of you are following? Therefore, give diligence, Peter said, to make your calling and election sure, because many are called, few are chosen. Hymn number 87, before we close. Hymn number 87. When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. I will be there.
Yeah.